In this weekly study, we saw last time in the fourth chapter that Lord Krishna explains to Arjuna that the knowledge of this yoga that he is explaining, the doing the actions without getting caught in them, performing the actions with perfect calmness and detachment. And thus, through that process, realizing one's true nature, one's divine nature, which is our goal. So that whole science is not spun out through the brains of some human beings, but it is divine origin. The origin of it is divine, and therefore it is flawless. There is no human limitations associated with our human research. And thus, if one follows, he gives the examples of many earlier people who practiced this, and practicing this attained illumination. That if you work like this, then your being gets purified, and then you can see it as it is. This is the process of Vedanta, that you are already the divine pure self. What you need to do is remove the dust, properly clean it, and then you will see it. Shankara, in his commentary on Ishavasya Upanishad, says that look like the sandalwood. By its nature, it has its fragrance. But if there is some dirt or some bad-smelling thing, some fungus has accumulated over it, then you don't get the fragrance of it. What you need to do is not to put fragrance in it. It is already there, and you just have to rub off the dirt. When you do that, and then the fragrance automatically comes. It is there already. So each of us is essentially divine. And let us understand the implications of this word divine. Divine means that we are really immortal, we are all pervading. It is by association with the body that we feel that I am a tiny being. The body comes and goes. The body is associated with all sorts of changes. And we identify ourselves with that piece of flesh and blood, and thus foolishly think that I also am changing. And when this delusion is removed, then we know we are all pervading divine being. This appears in our state of terrible identification with this body. This appears far-fetched, that how I always am thinking that I am the body. When people ask me where you had been, I tell that, I had been to Vedanta Society. I don't tell them that, what is going, what is coming, I am everywhere. I don't say that. I associate automatically with body. I identify myself with body. How is it possible? How is it ever possible to realize this? I can understand it intellectually. Experience is impossible. Or even if I somehow get a glimpse of it, It is not possible to live in this world with that experience. So, it appears to be of no use. This information appears to be of no use. But Lord said that it is not so by proper practice. And this accumulated dust will go away. Your false identification will go away. And you will realize that, oh, what a fool I was. It is, in the dream, if you are thinking that I am so and so, but when that dream is over, you know what a fool you were in the dream you saw. Many of us get such nightmares that, some terrible monster is attacking you and you are cornered, you have no way to escape. And when all seems to be lost, the dream is over and you say that, oh, what a fool I was. I never really was followed like that by a monster. It was all a dream. So, our association with this body also is nothing more than a dream. Just as association with the dream body is not real, association with this body is also not real. So, this actual experience can come to us through this process. This process essentially is called yoga. And Lord said that many have practiced it and attained illumination. And you can attain it too. The idea is each of us is capable of attaining it. Each of us have that potential. Don't undermine yourself. Let us not think that I am just some little thing. Today we were reading in the morning in our daily routine, we read reality to the world. And all the sun and the moon that shine because you see that. The world exists because you see that. It is you who certify the existence of the world. You are the reality of it. It is this experience each of us is capable of having and thus illumining our awareness. So now Lord says that look how I work. I also work. You may say that is it possible to work in that spirit? Lord says look at me. Here is the example that I also do lot of work. He gives an example. A big administration is done by Lord, dividing the human beings into the different castes, different groups, and managing their activities. A big organization. So he says in the 13th verse of 4th chapter, चातुर्वर्ण्यं मया श्रेष्ठं गुणकर्म विभागशः तस्य कर्तारमपि माम विद्धि अकर्तारम अव्ययम्. The four castes were created by me according to the differences in aptitudes and actions of men. Though I am author of them, know me, the immutable, as non-agent. Lord says that these human beings, all human beings as human beings are same, but each is again different. Everybody has different aptitude, different desires, and different tendencies, and everybody according to their need and the need of the society around them is engaged in different works. So, These two words here are very important, guna, karma. Guna is a complex philosophical term, which means that there are three types of tendencies that each of us has. Each person is composed of the different combinations of these three tendencies. One is the tendency of calmness. You don't have the turbulence of desires. You seek knowledge. You have a calm and pleasant demeanor. You are therefore not rushing into different activities. You do not have those attractions and repulsions. Nor do you have any enmity or hate towards anybody. That state of calmness, everybody sometimes or other feels in life. Every day probably one gets a few moments of that state, calmness, that you automatically, benevolence come about the world from you. That, okay, everything is as per the wish of God. What do I seek in this world? It is what is worth possessing anyway. So, these thoughts come to us. In this state, you don't go rush into activity. Then there is the state of activity, propelled by the desires. Desire propels the activity. That Vishwanath sitting steady, very nice, and gets a desire, let me go and play tennis. And then immediately looks for his racket, and then changes the dress, calls a friend with whom he plays, hey, come on, let us go and play tennis. And then goes to play tennis, and lot of activity there. Not only the body is active, the mind also is active. Even before the body starts working, the mind starts working, that whether I should win today or lose today or whatever, all that activity, desire propels activity. Therefore, when it is told that work without desires, the first question people ask is, how is it possible to work without desires? Because for most of us, in fact for almost all of us, without desires we do not do work. So the desires propel us for work, and then we reap the results of that work too. The activity brings its corresponding results. That also we have to take. Like you order meals at a restaurant, and then you get the meals as well as the bill. So you have to get the bill also. It is not that I will get only the food and not the bill. Do you know any restaurant Triveni? No. So it is not possible like that. It is. So when we do any action, the result comes to us. Some results come immediately, some come a little later. And those results are also of the nature of some activity. Those results again propel us into some activities, and this cycle thus goes on and on and on, never ending. So this is the second quality. First was called sattva, the calmness, benevolence, the purity and all that. We will read the details of that later in Bhagavad Gita, but this is in short the nature of these gunas. The first, sattva, and which is characterized by purity, calmness, general benevolence, lack of turbulent desires and all that. The second is the desires come up. That yes, I must do this. Come on, I must become the President of United States, and then see all activity then follows. Then it doesn't end there. If you become President, then now the works of the President, they follow. Then sometimes you feel, why did I get into that business? I was better before becoming the President. It is because you have to take it. Then till you were not President, you didn't have to take any blame. As soon as you become President, because President gets all the blame, that fellow has no brains at all, cannot do anything right, I could have become better President, people will say all sorts of things. You provide automatically, you become rather fodder for all comic magazines and all that, every humor is passed on you. So it is, that is the lot, that your actions automatically give you this result. And it doesn't just end there, it goes on further, follows you. That is called Rajoguna. Then the third is, all of us feel, after lot of activity, Vishwanath plays tennis, he hits the ball here, there, runs about a lot, and afterwards comes back home, I am tired now, let me just rest, go to sleep. And you don't want any activity at that time, you don't want to do any work, not because there are no desires, but one is so tired, feels inertiatic. That in that inertiatic mood, you feel irritated. At that time, when he is tired and wants to sleep, if somebody tells, hey, you have to do this, says, is it the time for this? A person gets irritable, quarrelsome, not easy to pacify at that time. It is called that tamoguna, the quality of tamas, that you feel that depressed, irritated, you are not in mood to listen to any sane advice. It is not, you don't want to do anything, just want to just lie down, inertia, that is called tamogun. We all feel that sometimes or the other. Now in each person, all the three are there, but the proportion is different. In a very highly evolved soul, you will hardly see them getting irritated. You will hardly see them inertiatic. You will hardly see them ever turbulent with desires. So, they are highly evolved there. The percentage of sattva is very high. The others may be there, but very in tiny proportions, or may not be there at all. The others, there are people who cannot sit without activity, without desires, always full of this plan or that plan, always looking for some work. They have to dig out work just to keep them, you know, not that there is work and they do it, no. Inactivity is very difficult for them to bear. So they dig out work. If there is no work, they dig out work. I know some people, one of our friends used to be always cleaning the room. And we used to tease him that if it is all clean, then he becomes very upset that he has nothing to do. So he goes out, gets some dust and sprinkles and then cleans it. It is, and we laugh, but many of our works are really like that. It is, unnecessarily we create lot of work for ourselves and then say, oh, what to do, you know, nobody is helping me in this work. Swami Akhandananda used to tell a story that a person used to gather those all earthenware cups that in India many people places you see people drink tea in those small earthenware cups. They are use and throw things. So people just drink tea and throw it. Now this fellow used to collect these from all over and then carry them in a big in the very busy square of this city. Used to be sweating all the time after doing so much of work. He used to sweat and then would take a big staff and keep on breaking those. Bring them and keep on breaking those right in the town square. Now, and wipe the sweat from time to time. See, what a huge work is lying before me. And when am I going to complete it? God knows, all people are passing by. Hey, why don't you help me? This is a big work I am doing. Hey, why don't you come to help me? People have no sense at all. He would go on muttering all that. People would laugh and say, who told you, fellow, to get all that here? Who told you to dig out all that work? It is, we are mostly like that. Dig out some business, do it, and then get tired and call names to the world that, see, the world is not helping me. It is, that state of a tremendous activity, as we will read later in Bhagavad Gita, that it leads to sufferings. This rajoguna, its result is suffering. Then there is, in most people, that is a lot there. Especially in America, in most of the Western countries, you will see that tremendous spirit of work. They have the desires, let me become prosperous, let me earn more money, let me earn more and more money, let me become the wealthiest person in the world, and so forth, so work. Somebody told me that one of our friends and devotees, he used to come here and do work and all that, and in 3-4 hours he would do lot of work. And if there is no work immediately seen, he would pull out some work. And he told me that I used to say, well, this is not necessary to do. He said, you know, for a Western man, it is difficult to sit without work. And then I told about the Indian man that characterizes the next fellow. For an Indian man, it is difficult to do work. Leave me alone, sit idle. It is that the third class, that they have other qualities too, but this is the predominant one, that idleness. They don't go to work. There is no initiative at all in them, and no desire to work. Even it is said that about some that they may prefer to die hungry than rather than get up and do some work. Not, what is there? Anyway, I have to die, is it not? why work? That is not because of calmness, but because of that inertiatic nature. So much of inertia stuffed in, that they don't budge from the place. They have to be made to do some work. There is some other, a little bit is there, but main character of this person is laziness. The last, where the tamoguna is predominant and the first sattvaguna is predominant, from outside they look alike. This fellow also doesn't do work, because he is calm. The other doesn't do work because he is inertiatic. Not that he is calm, but inertiatic. Two are very different things. So, Swami Vivekananda has lashed the Indian mentality that we cover up We are poor and we consider that as a sign of renunciation. Renunciation is not, you do not have the initiative, you do not want to do hard work, and therefore you remain poor and you cover it up by saying that, well, you know, we are that high spiritually illumined people and therefore we don't work. That is not right. It is, many times it comes like that, that third, that tamoguna appears like sattvaguna. So, it is important to see the differences. Now, people have these differences and according to them, the right work for them gets decided. The calm person will not get propelled by the desires for work through that desires for money or desire for enjoyment. They are not the criterion for working for that person. This person is more interested in knowing what is the truth. And then automatic there are those ideas about well-being of everyone, the love and joy. It comes automatically. We all have actually the store of joy within us. But this man, because of the less covering on that nature, can feel it. And so, it is not easy for that person to be tempted by the external objects for the sake of pleasure. It is, though he is happy without them, he feels that sense of serenity and happiness without running after them. So this is, this class of people, they therefore do the work of learning and distribution of that learning. That is learning and teaching, acquiring knowledge and giving the knowledge. They are not after money. So they, that becomes one category called Brahmana, one caste. So they do work accordingly. Then there is the second category, lot of activity is there. This activity has again two parts. The activity leaning towards the sattva or leaning towards the tamas. The activity, when it is, there are desires, but the desires are of a bit noble nature. They are desires for enjoyment. And there is some knowledge, higher knowledge there. And therefore, such people, they do the work of administration, they go to warfare, they have the spirit of renunciation, they enjoy the world. They run after enjoyments, no doubt, but they have also the nobleness in them. They know that it is the, for enjoyment, if the world has to be there for my enjoyment, so they make the world more developed, more progressive. They have the broadness to consider other people in their search for progress. So, they are called Kshatriyas. The third type is where the idea is not just enjoyment as such, but money. They see that I must get more and more money. Money as a means of enjoyment is one thing, but after a while this psychological connection gets lost. Money itself becomes the object. And thus, this person's happiness is in getting money. So the activity is not enjoyment-oriented, but money-oriented. So such people get into the commerce, in banking and such stuff. So they are called Vaishyas, trade, banking and such businesses. They become but the vehicle of the spread of knowledge though. Each of these have their special utility. They become the vehicles for knowledge, the spread of knowledge comes through them. It is because they take the knowledge with them everywhere. They are not location bound. Wherever there is opportunity for money, they will go. That is how you will see that the trader community, they have discovered new lands, new frontiers. They go and settle in different places, start shops, start some businesses. The reason is that trade has this inherent property. What is generated or produced in one place doesn't get sold in that place. A very simple principle. You cannot go and sell sand in Arabia. They have ample of it. You cannot go and sell ice in Alaska. They don't need it. So, what is produced in one place is not sold in that place. So, traders, they go from one place to another, and thus the real globalization and all that comes through their channel. So, that is this Vaishya community. That is their job. And the last is they are so much inertiatic. They have other qualities a little bit, but they cannot work on their own. They can be only servants. Servants doesn't mean that they will be poor. Servants doesn't mean that they are lower in their stature. No, servant in this sense that they do not have any initiative on their own. So, unless somebody gives them job, they will not do. The earlier, these categories, they don't wait for that. A person of the Vaishya temperament won't wait that somebody will offer me a job. He won't waste energy applying to the jobs. He would start a business of his own. So, let me start a bank. They have initiative for that kind of job, and they become successful. They do not become that depressed about that what can be done. They start like a man who was a successful banker. He was interviewed that how did you start the business? You became successful. You became the chairman of this most prosperous bank of our country. So, what is the secret of your success? So, he said, no, I had nothing to do. I thought then something, let me try something. And instead of asking for job or this or that to somebody, what I did was, on my house I put a signboard, bank. And after a while, as I was sitting, somebody came and deposited $100. After another hour, another man came and deposited another $25. Another fellow like that. By the end of the day, my confidence became so high that I put my own $20 also in my bank. High confidence level. So thus I became successful. The idea is they have initiative, but this fourth category, they don't have initiative. They always look for somebody will be giving me a job and I will be doing it. They have that service mentality. Their job is decided by somebody. Okay, you do this and you will be paid this. That is their attitude. So, that is the fourth category, Shudra. So, on their own, they won't be able to do anything. It is only when somebody provides work to them, this is your work, this is your project, you do this, okay, then they will do it, finish it, and then ask for what is the next project, that is their attitude. So, they are inertiatic people otherwise. They don't have any initiative. They don't, not that they are free from desires. That is a very different thing. These people have desires, but do not have the willingness to work to fulfill those desires. If somebody gives them work, if somebody makes them do something, then they work. A slavish mentality. Therefore, these people work with incentives and all that. The more incentive, they put in more work. If there is this thing of, or the punishment, that is the guiding principle for these workers, what they call carrot and stick. Carrot, okay, work. Otherwise, stick, that also will make them work. So, this is the fourth category. So, this is how the society is divided. Please remember, friend, nobody is condemned in this, because all of us have the ingredients of these things. It is, this is not to say that somebody is essentially lower or higher. It is to be remembered that this is, while we are discussing this, let us not forget that each soul is divine intrinsically, potentially. Each of them, each of these four classes have the equal opportunity to work out their salvation and become liberated. This system is not according to birth. People speak about the caste system in India, that the son of a Brahmin becomes Brahmin, son of a Shudra becomes Shudra. No, not necessary. It is not at all mentioned in the scriptures like that. It is according to your aptitudes and your actions. What is the meaning of actions there? See, if your aptitude is for the sake of knowledge, you want to do it, but the temptation creeps in and you act according to the temptations, then you, although you had the aptitude in the beginning of a Brahmin, your actions then remove that aptitude and put you in a different class, your mentality, and changes thereby. The combination of the sattva, rajas, tamas is not a permanent one. It goes on shifting in a person. Not that this you have some these three qualities in a certain proportion at birth does not mean that they will remain like that all through. Depending on how you channel them, how your actions are, that combination will keep on shifting. So this is a very important and very powerful principle. And Lord says, see, this is what I have done, divided the society into this fourfold classes and arranged their works and all that, and yet I have not done anything. No, that I am not, I am unchanged, and I am not the agent, I am not the doer at all. I have done and I am not doer. What is this? It is to be examined from our own standpoint, that when I do work, what is happening? That the hands are moving, legs are moving, the brain is moving, the mind is moving. But if all of these are not I, then am I moving? I am not moving at all. I am just still stationary there. It is, nothing is happening to me. I am still. I am unchanging. I am not doing any work. Just as a machine does lot of work, it is, yes, it is doing. If you are just observing the work of the machine, and you don't spend energy there, you don't work, the machine is doing the work. Similarly, let us remember that we are observer of this machine also. And this body-mind complex also is a machine. It is not that I am that. I am not that. I am just the observer. Just as a car runs, the car has spent fuel, car has become warm, you have not worked, you have done a little bit of steering movement or something like that, not much. And that also you see that it is the body that has done. It is all the physiology will tell you that we are like machines, you know, the body works like just machines. So, therefore, some auto repair shops are called auto clinics. Just as there are the, this body is cleaned, that body also needs repairs, that machine needs repairs. So, it is just like that, the machine, the tools, you see the orthopedicians use those tools, screwdrivers and the saws to cut the bones and all that, just like, and join, like you join the different parts of machines or some piece, they take a rod and put it there to hold the two broken pieces of bone together. So it is like a machine. So it is, if it is your heart also, if it is not working properly or on that its own, some problem is there, okay, we will put a pacemaker to make its movements more steady, more balanced. So it is like that. It is not you. It is similarly, whatever is moving, whatever is changing, whatever is doing work, I am not that. And so, I am not doing anything. So, Lord has, at other places we had read that, even if He says, even if I destroy the whole world, I am not killing anybody. I am not, because I have no intentions, I have no desires, that He explains in the next verse. That why I am not bound by the works, why am I not the doer? It is not cheating here. The cheating is a different thing. It is being insincere, one can cheat, as that story of Sri Ramakrishna. Sri Ramakrishna used to tell that story, that a man had a very nice garden, and always was very proud of that garden. He was a wonderful garden, had a nice that knowledge of how to plant the trees, where to plant, and he had that made the garden great. But what happened once, a cow somehow entered into the garden and ate so many nice, very special plants. This fellow, when saw the cow eating those plants, became so agitated, so angry. And anger makes you forget everything, all the these rationality goes away when you become angry. Yeah, he took a big staff and hit the cow with such force that the poor cow just fell dead there. Now the action is done. Now this fellow then thought, what a terrible sin I have committed. This, I killed the cow, and that sin will, I will have to suffer for it. I will have to go to jail. That when you do some crime, now you know that the authorities will be after you, and you will be caught and punished. Now we don't want to get punished. We have done the deed, okay, but now how to save ourselves? So this man had also read a little bit of scriptures and said that, after all, do I do the work? Scriptures say that you don't do the work. And thus, I didn't kill the cow, you know. It is the hand has killed the cow, and the governing deity, the governing deity of the hand is considered Indra. So Indra is the governing deity of the hand. And so that Indra has killed the cow, I am not the killer. And so when the that sin visited him, that come on now, get ready for punishment. He flatly refused, I didn't kill, that Indra is responsible. And then that sin therefore went to Indra to, Indra said, what does he say? He says like that. Okay, I will prove you that it is not I but he that killed the cow. Come on. And then Indra goes there in a different form and starts praising the garden. Hey, what a great garden. The one who has made this garden, he must be a real wizard in this. It is, see, exactly the such a wonderful aesthetic sense and such knowledge. And how these plants, where did you get it from? Who did it? And this man, you know, came forward. You know, I should not praise myself, but this is, I did it, you know. Oh, you did it. And this, oh, this also I did. Oh, that tree, that also I planted. Oh, you know, now it has become so big. I take good care of it. This also, okay, that also I do. And while they were walking, they came where the dead cow was there, you know. Hey, who killed the cow? Now he cannot say, I did it. Earlier, all those other things he was saying, I did it. Then, what about that cow? Only that was killed by somebody. That also. So, it is, the question is, to not to have any attachment with whatever one is doing. And there should be no desires, then only it is possible. So, Lord says, that next verse, a very important verse, namam karmani limpanti name karma phale spriha itimam yo bhijanati karma bhir nasabadhyate. Actions do not touch me, nor have I any desire for their fruit. He who knows me thus is not bound by actions. The great secret is told in most simple words, that it is a science. Why those actions do not bind me? Because I have no desire for the results. It is, if I don't desire the results, then the actions will not bind us. The Lord says, I do it without any desire for the result. Desire for the results means I am not selfishly craving for them. So, in that case, because of that, I am not bound by these actions. And so, whosoever knows oneself like that, it is said, whosoever knows the nature of the Lord like that, that fellow also will not get bound by the actions. So, now see, the word I is used not as a particular person, but the indwelling self of all of us. That indwelling self, when it is known that I do not act and I have no desires, then I also will not be bound. This law is law, you see. If somebody gets into the rain and gets the fellow gets wet, not only it is applicable to that fellow, anybody who goes out when it is raining will get wet. It is not that it is a speciality of that person. Science abhors special these things, privileges or some special things. It is, if something is applicable there, it is applicable there also. So, it is, if Lord is not bound because of the, because he has no desires, if Charles has no desires, then Charles also is not bound by the actions. If Anne has no desires, Anne also is not bound by the desires. If any of us, any Tom, Dick, Harry is working without desires, we also will not be bound by the actions. We shall continue this discussion, but we'll have to wait. And next Friday, there will be a special worship here. Because as you must have known by now, our beloved Swami Sarvagatanandaji, he breathed his last on last Sunday. And so, we will be having a special worship on coming Friday as per our tradition. And just in this context, I am letting you know, on Saturday, there will be a memorial service at La Salette Shrine in Attleboro. There is a very nice community center there, in that welcome center, not community, welcome center. There, from 9:30 in the morning till 12, there will be this service, and you are all welcome to join it. So next Friday, therefore, there will be no Bhagavad Gita class. The Friday after that, there will be an important video lecture on this subject of Bhagavad Gita that will be shown instead of our regular Friday class. And so we shall discuss this important theme after a gap of 2 weeks. So, what is that date? I think 29th. 29th will be the next regular Bhagavad Gita class. The worship on Friday will be from 11 to about 1:30. So, you are all welcome for that worship also. Any questions? I will conclude with the closing prayers. गीता सुगीता कर्तव्या किमन्यत् शास्त्र विस्तरैः या स्वयं पद्मनाभस्य मुखपद्माद्विनिसृता एकं शास्त्रं देवकी पुत्रगीतम् एको देवो देवकी पुत्र एव एको मन्त्रः तस्य नामानि यानि कर्माप्येकं तस्य देवस्य सेवा श्रीकृष्णार्पणमस्तु।